Dr. Clendenin, good morning. How are you?
Good, Michael Liberti. How are you this morning?
Good. I'm looking a little green on the video, but that's only because I'm turning into the Hulk. I guess my studio lighting is a little off.
There's some reflection going on there, yeah.
We're going to go with green, baby. What's up? I'm green today because I'm printing cash. So that's me.
I would be stunned. So there's a cult film. There's a quote from a cult film that I almost would guarantee our audience doesn't know. And there is a scene in there where, like, basically the context is you're asking if everything is cool. Instead, they say green. So there's one for you. If you can name that, if you can name the movie, put it in the comments, text me, DM me, whatever you got to do. If you can name the movie, little cult film. I'm not even going to give you the actors. That's too easy. You can name that for me. I'll find something cool to give you because that's a good one. So green, there you go.
Green is good. I like green.
Green is good. So way off context, but yeah, that caught me funny.
I want to cut through some industry bullshit out there, and I want to cut through this phrase "next level," and I want to kill it. And everyone's always trying to get to the next level, but it's all a myth. It's an idea. I'm gonna just open up. I say there is no next level, right? There only is, and it's a perceived confinement. Because if you want to get to the next level, that means you're then stuck at the next level. And then you have to get to the next level and the next level and the next level and the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Why not the next five levels? Why not the next 5 minutes? Why not get to the next thing? Because the word level is clearly a marketing term. However, the context of next level is cool because you can play with trying to get somewhere else, right? But I want our audience and I want everyone listening to this broadcast to think about when they talk about the next level. First of all, you're assuming you're not at a good place. And you're assuming you need to get to a quote unquote better place. It's all a myth. It's you are where you are, right? You're already at somebody else's next level. Somebody's already at your next level. It's just a matter of taking action and moving needles to goals. Get to your next mile marker. Get to your next step in the journey. Because that means you can go back a step or forward a step. I don't know. I'm rambling. What do you think?
You're right. And it's so hard to nail it down. And it's been a term that's just been a bane in my existence. And now anytime I hear it, I pretty much hear Macho Man Randy Savage saying it. It's pretty much how it's resonating in my head. Ooh, get your business to the next level. Like, that's totally all I hear now. And I'm making light of it, but at the same time, yeah. It's driving me up a wall because of that, because it is, it's marketing. It's a strategy to make you believe that you're not where you're supposed to be, that you can do something more. Right. And that, what that says to me is we're constantly moving the target. How can we ever know we're achieving the results we want? If somebody else is telling us we got to take our business to the next level, we got to take our fitness to the next level, we got to take our, you know, competition to the next level, whatever it's going to be. I mean, yes, we are limitless as human beings. Totally true. Just believe that, right? I mean, it's not a matter of, okay, I've got my business to this spot, because that's what designates this mythical glass ceiling. It's what designates the box. It's what designates the wall of, you know, so we're listening, we're getting an external onus that's telling us that we're not where we're supposed to be, and we have to step up our game. We got to work more hours. We got to work harder. We got to learn more things in order to get to this next level. And there's a great book years and years ago, and I haven't talked about this one in a while. It's called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Acor. Here's where this concept comes in. And you guys all know, Mike and I don't script this, any of this. And this is just, we just kind of take off on the tangents we're feeling at the time. So this isn't I prepared for this, but this just came into my head. So the premise of the happiness advantage, and we've all heard this, is we've all made these statements, you know, well, once I get this project done, I'll be happy. Once I buy that car, I'll be happy. Once I get this job, I'll be happy. But you're always moving the target. You're always moving the target instead of I'm happy, so I'm going to buy that car. Right. And so it's the same with this next level bullshit. And I'm going to say it too, man. I hate that terminology. It drives me bananas. But it's a matter of, you know, my business is awesome, so I'm going to grow it. My business is awesome, so I'm going to increase my revenue. I love what I do, so I'm going to add a few more clients, right? And it that's the perspective, that's the perception shift that I wanted to kind of dig into. And the reality is, we're geared into this from being little kids, right? We're always in this from little kids. And my wife and I were talking about this yesterday, and I'm rambling, I know. But we were talking about this yesterday about just think public education. I'm not busting on public education. Don't call me if you're a teacher. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. You work really hard. I am using it as a point of reference in space. I want to use math as the example, right? Math is first you have to learn basic, you know, you have to learn basic math so that you're good enough so that you can get to the next level of math, which is call it, you know, geometry. And you have to master that to get to the next level, which is algebra, then algebra two, then trig, then calculus, and blah, 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 blah. And there's no end until you're in theoretical particle physics, right? And they still don't have the end. Then they're making up numbers. But that that's Big Bang Theory. That I'm not going to say that I'm that cool. That I'm straight up stealing that off of Big Bang Theory. But
yeah, that's not like, you for sure.
That's just the concept of if you love math, learn more math, right? It's not a matter of I'm not good enough until I get to this level. So that right, that's kind of the that's where I wanted to go with this
journey of I think next level goes along with that journey of mastery. And I'll take it to the martial arts reference. I used to be involved in martial arts and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And you want to go all the way back to Karate Gi colors. It just so happened the Karate Gi colors and went from white to dirty because the person just kept wearing the belt. It wasn't exactly the fact that some sensei said, hey, here's a brown belt, here's a tan belt, here's a green belt, here's a blue belt. It had to do with, I'm an expert because my belt's dirtier. Now, again, I guess these beginners weren't rolling around in the mud, but metaphorically, you can understand what that means. And
see, that's a nice analogy. I like that.
Yeah. And it's the next level. The next level is seamless. There is no, you arrive and you're there. I'll give a real world example. Recording a podcast or recording a radio show. You have to go out and do a bunch, and all of a sudden you're at the next level. It's ingrained. It's a habit. It's a, hey, let's get on. The mechanics are setting up. The mechanics are recording. The software, the familiarity, the what to do with the information post. It all becomes a routine. That's the next level, right? Run into trouble, though, when you hear next level and you start taking fragmented brief steps to try to get to the next level. You forget. Mm-hmm. It's just duplication and a little bit of innovation. And over and over and over again. Duplication, innovation, duplication.
Repetition.
Without innovation, you're still repeating the same processes without any movement. Eventually, things need to innovate. Now, a good recipe is a good recipe, but people still get sick of a good recipe. And you want to make it fresh. You want to make it current. I was listening to Sting the other day. Him and, get his name, we're doing something on Broadway. We're doing a musical situation. And he's being interviewed. And he said that if he sang Every Step You Take or any of his old songs, if he performed that song every 4 hours, it would be a different song. He has to come to a song with a freshness that is current and has to mean something to him. Otherwise, he's just basically playing a recording. I thought that was outstanding. And I feel like true professionals do that. They step into a current moment. And that's the cool thing about books. You know, I learned something a long time ago about books. And people read, you read, I read, or we listen, and we try to get to the next level listening to books and being mentored by other people who, quote unquote, have done it. They've done it to that point in time, and they've recorded their information at that point in time. It's much like this broadcast. You can come back to this thing 25 years from now, hear our information and say, wow, that's where those guys were at that time. And that's where the context of next level needs to really be circled. And it's where you are, where you're going and where you're headed and what nuance you're going with. And again, when you are our audience, and as we try to cut through the BS and disrupt a little bit, You are already on the next level. You may not be doing the things you need to do according to whatever fictitious checklist you have there, but you are already on the next level. You just have to apply the habits and behaviors that sustain a desired pictorial result that you have in your head, wouldn't you say?
Well, and you have to decide what your definition of success for whatever the thing is, right? If it's your business, if it's your health, what is my definition? What's my goal? Where do I want to be, period? And this is the challenge. You have to ignore the external somebody telling me you can do better. Oh, you're awesome, but you can do better. That's not necessarily coaching, right? If you've got a goal, and this is where it used to drive me nuts, and this is where I go different between coach and consultant. Like the definitions vary a little bit too. In business, I'm not talking athletic coaching because that's a whole different thing altogether. Mike will roll down that road. But the definition between a coach and a consultant is, a consultant is going to say, this is how I succeeded in my business. These were all the things. You're not doing them. You're going to go do them, right? They're giving you a list of things to go do. A coach is going to walk with you where you are in the time, in the moment. Right. They're literally in the, all right, Mike, what's going on today? What are you doing? What are you planning on doing next? What's holding you back? What's, you know, where it started to shift for me years ago with a group of coaches that I had hired, and I actually fired five of them from that company because they were coaching me on their business. They were consulting me. They weren't coaching me. And it was a matter of, you know, they say, okay, great. You're going to make, you've decided to make 20 calls today. I want you to double that. Right. That's weaponizing next level. That's the stuff where it started to drive me nuts, because that's not my business. That isn't where I want to go. It's not what I want to do. Like, hold me accountable to the thing that I want to do. If it's a matter of, yeah, I agree, I'm going to make 20 calls today. Don't tell me to make 40. Awesome. So you're going to do 20 calls. When you get done with those 20 calls, what are you going to do? Awesome. That's what you're going to do. You're going to call me, tell me you did that. Send me the text, send me the email to confirm so I can hold you accountable to that 20 calls. Because that's my decision. Versus, you know, well, I don't think 20 calls is enough for you today. I want you to do 40. I used to hear that double down crap, and it was such a lazy coaching, I guess, lazy way to bring consulting into it. Cause no matter what I said, they wanted me to double it, wouldn't matter. So what do you do? What do we learn to do when that happens? We go, okay, well, I know if I tell Mike I'm going to do 20, he's going to tell me to do 40. I'm going to start with 5. So that we can negotiate to get to 20, which is what I want to do anyway. That's what we're going to do. That's a waste of your energy, right? Because now you're not thinking, I'm proud of what I'm doing. I'm happy with what I'm doing. You're not walking down a road with somebody else that is saying to you, man, I'm proud of what you're doing. I'm excited what you're doing. I'm excited to walk down this road. Like, there's pushing you a little bit, but there's a way to do it without just saying, I want you to double that. You know, and that same is true in physical world too, right? If I say I can bench press 300 pounds 3 times, Mike's not going to say, okay, great, let's do 10. Like, no, I'm going to break something.
It works. You have to deload, and you have to work your way up to it, and you have to have plan goals, and you have to make sure you're doing all kinds of crap. Yeah, so there's a strategy behind that. Mm-hmm. And there's metrics that you want to gauge yourself by. Yeah, okay, the one-on-one rep max is always a good one, but depends on what your goal is. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And again, the difference between coaching and consulting, it's kind of funny when you hear, right, along the lines of what you're saying, when you hear somebody, and a friend of ours does this, not the other people we always talk about, this is another guy that we don't know, talks about how he has done multiple businesses, bought, sold, exited, and that's why he's a higher caliber coach. I agree and I disagree. I disagree because you can't coach somebody like you coach yourself. What you become higher caliber in is maybe some mindset, become higher caliber in a little bit of tricks, but an oncologist himself has probably never had cancer, right? Like, a rheumatologist himself or herself may never have had rheumatoid arthritis. So a lot of the top professional, an open heart surgeon may or may not have performed open heart surgery on themselves, right? Like, you're getting the diverse craziness down there. It's level dependent upon the information about which the person can regurgitate and customize it to you. There's a lot of great coaches. I use this analogy all the time. I doubt Bruce Arians could have thrown a football, yet he had Tom Brady as a quarterback. Won a Super Bowl with him. Bill Belichick's the same way. I'm sure he could throw to his grandson, but I don't know that Bill Belichick could throw the ball down the field. Does he really need to be able to sit there and get the mindset and coach Tom Brady on how to be a quarterback? No. Tom Brady did the work, and there's other coaches on the organization that led to 6 or 7 victories, whatever those two had together. So all that being said, the next level is in hidden in the work. And the next level is hidden in behavior, and it's hidden in patterns. Coaching is only as good as the work you're putting in. I was a terrible student for a long time because I wasn't putting in the work. I wasn't doing the daily habits. I was doing other daily habits. You know, mm-hmm. And we'll always go back to input equals output. You're not at the next level. Okay, well, what level of input are you having? Your output's equaling your input. And again, redefine it. No one can ever define next level. No one can ever define. How many coaching clients have you looked into their eyes when you said, define me success? You get this sort of carbon copy answer that is 10 more thousand a month. Or, you know, and I like that, but I don't like it at the same time. It doesn't feel right to me. I like those blunt, touchy-feely, one word, I feel happier about being alive. Like that to me would be next level. And then you expand that and say, okay, I feel happy being alive because my business is doing this much volume, personally is doing that much volume. And there's a fluidity and a congruency between where somebody is going, where they are, and where they want to be. Wouldn't you agree?
I would totally agree with that. And that goes back to, you know, we can use Tom Brady, you know, Michael Jordan, pick your Uber rock star, whoever it's going to be. Those guys made the decision themselves. Somebody else didn't tell them. They made the decision on their own that said, this is what success looks like to me. I am not going to be finished. Didn't say happy. I'm not going to be finished until I have achieved and represented that level of success in my life. That's what it looks like. And at that point I will retire. That was the decision. It wasn't it's not the next level. It's not, I won't be happy till I get there. It's, I won't be finished. And I can't remember who I heard in the interview that said that. It was it might have been Kobe Bryant. I don't remember who I read it, which athlete it was, but that was really, really pointed that they said, I won't be finished until I've achieved this. It had nothing to do with happiness. It had nothing to do with goals. It was, I'm going to do everything it takes in my universe, all the work that it takes, all the habits, all the discipline, because I won't be finished until I do that thing. Like, that was a brilliant statement. It wasn't, I won't be happy, because what are you telling yourself? I'm going to be pissed off for the next 30 years until I get there. That's the wrong thing to tell yourself. Like, I won't be finished. Awesome. It means it's an open job ticket in your brain that you're working on. That's perfectly fine. I mean, I have specific goals in my outdoor life that I won't be finished until I have done those things. Plain and simple. That is how those are. And that's the conversation, right? So before we prattle too much further, in the show notes, in the comments, in the bottom, we want you to go take the quiz. What kind of leader are you? We want you to go take the quiz. The quiz gets in there, tells you what kind of leader you are, gives you a cool report. It's free, no email, nothing to sign up on. Gives you a cool report on your gaps. What you may need to do in order for you to be a little better where you are, 1% better. You guys have heard me talk about that book. So it gives you that and it leads into the app. Hopefully the app helps you out. So we want you to go take the quiz, check it out in the show notes.
Perfect. Yeah, I like quizzes. I always find that's a great strategy on getting people to think about themselves as a quiz, and no one likes to answer questions.
They're fun. You get to share the answers with your buddies, you know, what's going on. And it's a little bit, it's helpful. There's value there. It's free for you. Share it with everybody. That's what we want you to do with it.
No one ever wants to hear it. They always want to, you know, it's like, I want to be somewhere, but I don't want to answer these questions. It's like, just go through it. I encourage you to go through a quiz. Just challenge yourself, right? Just keep challenging yourself. And I, as we ramble down the road, I think that's also part of it, is challenge yourself. And I think sometimes, depending on where someone is in life, you got to challenge yourself like 50 times a day, right? You got to just stop a certain behavior and move towards another behavior if you really want to get to that next level. And I'm going to keep...
See, even you're using the terminology because it's too easy.
The next level on purpose, because it's just... I'm uncomfortable where I am, and we've all been there. I'm uncomfortable where I am, and and I try to tell my kids this with working out and with training, it's some sort of sustained momentum or consistency. And just because you do the thing, it doesn't guarantee, but it's a guarantee you are making change. You're guaranteed to make change when you consistently make change. When that 3 days of, hey, I'm doing something new, wears off, and you're pulling yourself towards some goal you've set, when you're climbing or crawling or sprinting or advancing, and you're moving towards that, it is that sustained momentum that creates change, because you literally are in the middle of the change. You're like this pod space flying through time and you don't even see it. You're teleporting yourself where you need to be and you can't even see you're doing it. You're just doing it. That's the funny thing. And I want to bring up a nod to very sophisticated marketers. When you listen to very sophisticated marketers, they're very specific as to what part of the journey they're targeting in terms of the next level. So it's, if you're not getting, this is a marketing note or a communication note to some people out there. If you're not getting really good results, you need to be specific in terms of what you're communicating about and then where you're communicating about going, how far down the road you're communicating about going. In other words, an example would be, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to increase sales, that's, as opposed to if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to get more revenue. Well, okay, get more revenue. Increase sales sounds more specific. Now I've established a level and I want to increase that level, right? So without actually saying get to the next level, you're already talking about next level, right? So there's a little hack for everybody. And you and I have definitely, we talked about this two episodes ago, maybe three episodes ago, where we talked about being a little too generic. And I think that's also, a problem. So if I could ask you, like you talked about doing daily reviews, right? And let's just really quick go over a lifestyle management thing. I've got about 10 micro goals and 5 macro goals. As a coach, coach me, and I represent the audience, but coach me on how to organize that, right? Like, how does somebody go, shit, I'm trying to do all these things. It's the daily review, but let's get tactical here. And let's talk about how do you set that up? Do you write notebooks down?
You can write it down. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I'm still a huge believer in the one thing methodology. I mean, I've been a one thing coach for a long time, but I still think it's absolutely accurate. So I'll ask you a question on that. So, all right, Mike, you've got 4 macro goals and you've got 10 micro goals. That's a lot to get done in a day. I want you to take the 4 macro goals and tell me, of those 4 today, if you didn't get one of them done, which one would hurt the most? That you absolutely felt horrible, you wouldn't get it done. What would be that one?
Controlling my eating, eating less carbohydrates.
Eating less carbohydrates. All right, awesome. So we need to eat less carbohydrates throughout the day. So notice where I'm going with this. That's the point of what I'm trying to make with this. It is simply Mike chose what his goal was, the one that he absolutely would not possibly back off of. And now I'm just gonna coach him on that. What's your plan for that? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? We're going to focus on that, right? Your brain, as cool as your brain is, and as awesome as we are, we only have the capacity to focus on one thing at a time and actually get it done. Remember, multitasking is a lie, and lots of people can write me about that. Oh, I'm an awesome multitasker. No, you just suck at doing one thing. So like, that's what I'm telling you is exactly what Mike, you know, you got to think about what is, if I only got one thing done today, what would it be? Or what would, if I didn't get one thing done and it was horrible, what would it not be? If there's something I could kick to tomorrow and procrastinate it, what would it be? Because that's obviously not that important of a goal, right? We just have to get to the root.
Let me ask you then, how do you check your, maybe my better question for you would be, how do you check macro, micro goal progression? It's a lot to handle in 50 seconds, but
yeah, that's a lot to handle in just a few seconds.
We'll also kick that to next episode. Just give me a teaser.
That would be, we're going to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. We're just going to go through their rate scale, rate them all on a scale of 1 to 10. And then we're going to organize them thusly.
Wow. I like that. But you're constantly checking that scale, right? You're constantly checking that rating system.
Mm-hmm.
How many times a day?
It depends on the person, right? It's not a, there's no set prescription for this. There's, it's the, depends on who the person is, how they are. I mean, it's some people, you've got to put it in their calendar every hour. Some people, you got to put it in there once a day. So it just depends on who the person is and how accountable they are to their procedure.
All right. That's awesome. Anything else to add for the day, Jake?
I will leave you with a Chris Farley quote from SNL. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you.
Doggone it. All right. Well, that was awesome. Thanks, Jake. My name is Liberacy for Dr. Jake Clendenning. We're just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time, everybody.